And with that, let's open up our Bibles, the book of John, chapter 21. In our text today, Jesus has breakfast with his disciples, with these few men who had gone fishing. Let's read together. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself to them. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood there at the shore, yet the disciples did not notice it. They did not know that it was Jesus Christ. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food? Have you caught anything?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of the fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea, dived in. But the disciples came with a little boat, for they were not far from land, the 200 cubits, just a few hundred meters, dragging the net with a fish. So we've seen that the death of Jesus Christ brought so much sorrow, there's so much pain, there was so much fear, there was so much uncertainty. And then he came back to life. The resurrection brought so much happiness, so much joy. Their hopes were revived, their faith strengthened. But Jesus would appear to them and then disappear. Right? They did not have a constant all day, all night, 7 days, 1 week, 1 month with Jesus Christ. So he had appeared to them. He vanished. He appeared to them when they were with Thomas. He disappeared in his glory, in his resurrection. Body is not limited to being at any place at any time. He's everywhere at the same time. He can fly in through walls. Thomas's doubts were answered. And then Jesus vanishes again. The man who had always made them free lunch is nowhere to be seen. And Peter says, "I am going fishing." Maybe looking for food. Maybe frustrated with this Jesus thing being very hard to understand. Maybe looking for money for ministry. Let's go fish, sell the fish, then we can go and pay our way to preach the gospel to the whole world. Regardless of the reason they went fishing, we see that obviously their faith was low. Their hope was low again. And their efforts futile and fruitless. Now these are people, some of them knew fishing, especially Peter. Remember that Jesus found them fishing when he called them to follow him. So they were no doubt experienced fishermen. They knew how to catch fish. But nothing. All night. And then Jesus shows up in the morning. Now imagine, they were hungry. They go out fishing. They catch nothing. They get nothing. It's morning. Probably very frustrated. And then they hear a voice. "Children, have you any food? Did you catch any fish?" Now, if you've been trying to fix something all night, and your efforts completely yielding nothing, that is the least question you want to hear. Have you ever tried to do something all night and it's not working? And then somebody comes in and asks you, "What's the progress? What are you thinking, man? Just go away." "Can't you see? Just go away. Don't even disturb me here. Let me catch some sleep." They don't even recognize Jesus' voice. And that gives us reason to know that their faith was low. When they were going out fishing, do you see them praying? "Guys, we are going out fishing. We need to pray. We need to ask God to help us. We need some strength. We need some wisdom." No. "Let's just go fishing. We know how to do it. So let's go do it. And they tried and tried and tried. They didn't even catch a frog. Not even a snail. Nothing. And then Jesus tells them, all right, you are fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Cast your net, throw your net on the right side of the boat. That's where the fish is. And they do. They're not even caring about the voice, meanwhile. They just obey the voice, and they have so much fish. Now, for John, he realizes, maybe I've had that voice before. We've had this experience before. Somebody found us here, fruitless in fishing, called us to follow him. A similar thing is happening. Who is that? He recognizes it was Jesus Christ. He tells Peter, it's Jesus. Peter forgets about the fish. He forgets that the boat can actually move faster than it can swim. All he wants is to go to Jesus. They had difficulty dragging the fish. It was so much for the net and for the boat. But eventually they get to the shore and Jesus was there. They get so much fish without even asking for God's help. And God shows up and helps them in the process. And we see his grace. Have you ever had an experience where you didn't even ask God for help, but help came anyway? Maybe you forgot. Maybe you are frustrated. Maybe you are thinking, and this is very complicated. This is very confusing. I don't understand anything. Let me just go do what I can do best. And then you go do what you can do best, and it still does not work. And Jesus shows up to lead you, to guide you to fruitfulness. What do you think is going on in their mind? Guys, we should have prayed. We should have asked God to catch that fish. We should have maybe fasted. We should have done something. Right? And God shows up to guide them even when they did not ask. That is our gracious God. Sometimes we forget about him, don't we? We just decide, I'm going on a venture. I'm going to do it. I'm going. I don't care whether or not I've prayed. I am just going. I'm going fishing. I know how to fish. I know how to do this thing. I'm going to do it. And we often forget to ask God's help because in our mind, we know how to do things, don't we? I know mechanics, I know law, I know accounting, I know whatever it is. I'm not going to ask God's help, I'm going to do it. And then we go out and we fail miserably. The one thing that is embarrassing in this life is failure in something that you are very familiar with. Have you ever walked out of an exam and it's probably your best subject and the results are out and you're completely grounded? Very embarrassing. But Jesus loves us so much. Even when we don't ask for his help, he comes to help us. He comes to lead us. He comes to guide us. He comes to cause us to be fruitful. They're not looking for the Lord. They're not even praying for God's help. They're looking for food. Their faith is low. And Jesus comes and says, you know what? I know your failures. I know your frustrations. I know you're low. I want to help you. Please do it this way. Put the net on the right side. And there is so much fruit. Let me ask this. If God helps us when we haven't even asked him to, how much more will he help us if he actually asked him to? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Lead me. Teach me. I am waiting for direction from you, God. I am not going out fishing unless you are going with me. Unless you are going to cause me to be fruitful. I am not going on this venture unless you really, really guide me. He again wrote in Psalm 31, verse 3, for you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. I think about David, he was a shepherd. All right? He knows how to take care of sheep. He had protected his father's sheep from lions and bears. He knows shepherding. What else does he know? Music. You think we have good musicians? So David was the best in Israel. He was hired by the king to play in his palace. He was an excellent harpist. Eventually, God leads him to be a king. The most effective, popular king they ever had. No other king like David. It's like when you talk about David, as if he was the only king that they ever had. Like there was no other king. That's how influential, powerful, good, and excellent he was. Now this is a man who has so many skills. He can shepherd, he can play music, he can do administration. He's a king. And he does all of them very well. But you know, even in David's abilities, in verse 25, in chapter 25, verse 5 of Psalms, he is asking God for help. God, lead me. Guide me. Teach me. I know I'm a good king. I know I have strength to protect my father's sheep from dangers. I know I can play music really well. But I still need your leading. As if he's saying, God, I can play this music, but without your help, it means nothing. It's useless. Anybody can do it. I'm a shepherd. Without your strength, I cannot protect this sheep. I cannot do anything to even protect myself. Lord, I know I'm a king. You've made me a king. But without your wisdom, I cannot be a good king. I'll be a corrupt king. I'll be a bad king. You are my rock. You are my fortress. Psalm 31 verse 3. For your name's sake, I need your help. Lead me and guide me. We need to realize that even if we are good at certain things, even if we can close our eyes and do them, we still need help because we often fail. And we do not predict our failures because we think we know. Do you know people who actually think they know? It's like for them, they're the textbook or the summary of knowledge about whatever it is. They think they know. Tell you what, you do not know. We do not know everything. And we should never pretend or even give an impression that we know everything about anything. We don't. We just know a little bit. Not even about fishing. Because God may decide to hide the fish from you or hide certain things from you. And you will fail so miserably. Now, particularly about David, we know he was great. And there is so much twist to this story and to his story that people talk about today. Just dream. If you want to be great, dream, right? Dream big. Think big. If you want to be great, just follow your pursuits. Just decide on something and go do it. David was a shepherd. If you have ever grazed sheep, out there in the middle of nowhere, you know that you can't think any bigger than the sheep. All you think about is sheep. And then he's out there grazing. His father sends him to take some food for his brothers who are in war. And there he is beating up a giant. Did he ever think he would beat up a giant? No. He was basically obeying his dad, taking his brother's lunch. Simple task. Do you think David ever dreamed that he would become king? Not in this world. No way. If you had told David you're going to be king and he's like, what? King? I'm a shepherd. When will that be? I don't believe that. Truth is, greatness in God's kingdom is simple obedience, simple humility. Just take the lunch if you're supposed to take the lunch. Just go obey your parent if they have sent you to do something. You go take care of the sheep. God is the only one who has that great plan for us. Not ourselves. We can dream about things and none of them will happen. I can guarantee you. If you believe this dream thing, you dream. You tell me after 10 years if they have happened. You'll be like, well, If you're dreaming about a car, you'll be like, I still have a tire. A tire, 1 out of 6. It's God who leads us in His ways, His marvelous ways. And all we have to do is ask for His leading. God, guide me. God, lead me. Reminds me of so many stories in the Bible when so many people run to the Lord and all they do is, Lord, help me. They don't have time to kneel down and say long prayers. Lord, help me. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, is this father who was a child who is sick. Medicine couldn't help. Lord, help me. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I'm confused. Help my confusion. Help my dilemma. Help my mind. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 25, there's a lady who comes to Jesus Christ. She had a huge problem, and she only says two things. Lord, help. Two words. Lord, help. Jesus is available to help us. And to help us in just about everything. Everything. He knows everything. He made everything. And we do well when we run to Him for help. Lord, I know this, but without your help, it's going to fail. Please help. And He's faithful to help. We see that in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus knew their weaknesses. He knew that they were men and they were hungry. They needed something to eat. They needed fish. Maybe He knew that they needed to sell the fish and get some money for the ministry. He knew that their faith was low. He knew that they were confused. He knew that they were in fear. They were hopeless. They were foolish. And we have God who understands that we are very, very often stupid. He knows, doesn't He? You think you're wise? He knows how stupid you are. You can't even fish. As easy as fishing. He understands our weaknesses and says, you know what? It's okay. I will help you. You need any help? Just come to me. In fact, you don't even have to come to me. I'll come to you. I'll find you there. I'll find you out. He comes to give us help, whatever help we need. The disciples drag the fish to the shore, and they find Jesus making some fish and bread already. As soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire, of course, there, and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land, full of large fish. And Peter is out there counting the fish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 153. Jesus said to them, come and eat. Come and have breakfast. Yet none of them dared to ask Him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after had been raised from the dead. Now, if you were the Lord, put yourself in Jesus' shoes. These men go out fishing without your help, without even asking for any help. They fail, you help them, and then they come, and they're ready for breakfast. You know what I would do? I'd ask them, so guys, look here. How on earth can you go without asking my help? We do that, don't we? Let it be the last time you're going out, without my help and without asking for help, okay? Okay, now we can have breakfast. Jesus doesn't do that. I mean, they're embarrassed enough. They're not even asking Him who He is. They know it was the Lord. They're not even saying, okay, guys, we should have prayed, you know? We should have asked God for help. All right, forget about that. Just enjoy the meal. Come and have breakfast. They're standing there all embarrassed, looking at each other, and they're just looking down like, man, it was your idea, Peter. Why did you guys come? Why didn't you pray? Okay, it's time to eat. He gave them bread and gave them fish. That was their favorite meal. They lived along the Sea of Galilee. They had to fish. Easiest to get food. Bread, they grew a lot of wheat. They ate so much bread that you would not survive a day without it. That was their staple food. What is your favorite breakfast? Chikomando? Chapati? Rolex? Katogo? Jesus makes it for you and says, come. Who does not like that? Your favorite breakfast. And remember, you had been a failure just a moment ago. You're thinking, man, what's wrong with this world? I can't even fish. And then there is breakfast for you to enjoy with the Lord. And he serves you and he says, eat. The last meal they had with Jesus Christ was Passover. And in that meal he was betrayed. Thereafter he was arrested and crucified. He is resurrected, he is alive, and he says, I have another meal to share with you. It's a delicious one. Sit and eat. God is always inviting us back to himself. We go out, we get lost. What does he do? Come. We wander off in our own pursuits. What does he do? Does he leave us alone? No, he is always there saying, come. I know you're a failure. Come. We can't even do the things that we know we can do. We fail. He says, well, I am an expert of fixing failures. You come to me. Hungry? We wander off looking for food. He says, I have food for you. You notice they're only men, right? Hungry men. You never want to have hungry men around you. They'll eat you up. Jesus knows our weaknesses, our hunger. He makes us breakfast. But truth is, Jesus is always calling us to himself, to be close to him. Please come. Let us sit. You have any questions? Let us talk. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, maybe you know this verse. An interesting verse that Jesus, God, his Holy Spirit, in his grand and triune nature, says to Isaiah, come now and let us reason together. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool, white as wool. God says, come and we talk. You are confused. You are in a dilemma. You are lost. You are a failure. God says, come. What's your problem? What is your confusion? Where is your dilemma? Let's talk. Is it because of sin? You are hiding. You're running because of sin. Some difficult thing, some whatever it is. Come and we talk. Isaiah must have been shaking in his boots. What? Talk to the Lord about what? Obviously, you know what you want to talk about. But when God says, come and we talk, do you have any question for him, really? No. It's almost answered right there. Adam, remember? He disobeys God. He runs off to hide. He makes himself leaves to cover himself, cover his nakedness. What does God do? God comes and tells Adam, come. I can cover you. I know you've disobeyed. I know you're a sinner. It's okay. Come. I'm the only one who can forgive you. Right from the Garden of Eden, God invites people to himself. Because we know that we run, right? When you disobey at home, what do? Run. I was telling somebody during the break that I one time refused to go to school. I told my mom, I think I was 6 or 7, I'm not going to school today, madam. She said, okay, you can stay home. I went off with my friends and played all day. The sun set and I'm thinking, all right, and I have to go home. But I did not want to go home. And my mom was like, come. And I was like, okay, let me come. I got a beating of my lifetime. I never dodged school again. God is not calling us to beat us up because we ran away from Him or because we disobeyed Him. He just wants to forgive us and to cleanse us and to start all over again. Come to me. Noah, come, I have a job for you. Build an ark. Abraham is out there enjoying his jacuzzi and his roast meat. God tells him, I have a better plan for you, Abraham. Do you want it? He said, yes, I want it. Okay, you come. Let's go. Moses, a fugitive. He's wanted for murder in Egypt. He's a runaway prince. He's a shepherd out in the middle of nowhere, and God tells him, Moses, I'm not done with you. Let's do this all over again. Come. I am sending you. David, out there raising his sheep, God says, come. In Revelation, John, the apostle, he's deposed in an island, he's tortured, he's left there alone, and God says, come and I show you heaven. And John is given a revelation of heaven, a picture of heaven, an invitation by God. These men come and have breakfast. And that depicts closeness, unity, intimacy. The Jews never ate with anybody they did not like or they did not want to be part of. They only ate with people they wanted to be close to. And God wants the same. He wants us to be close to Him. He wants to be close to us, doesn't He? To our own advantage. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, He told them, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, come to me all you who labor and are tired and exhausted and are stressed, and I will give you rest. You are tired. You are finished. Come to me and I give you the rest that you need. You're hungry. Come, I give you food. I satisfy you. I know you're looking for something and you won't find it anywhere. Come and I give it to you. Maybe you're here running away from God, hiding from God, confused. You don't even want to hear God's voice. Tired. This Jesus thing is very complicated. Faith in some seasons seems to be quite a puzzle that you can't fix. And Jesus says, yeah, I know you can't fix it. I know you don't understand everything. I know you understand just a little. And I can help you. I can guide you. I can lead you. I can make you a meal. I can satisfy your desires. Our resurrected Lord is calling you, is calling us, is inviting us to Himself. Come. Don't run. Don't hide. Don't shut Him off. Be attentive. He's always calling us back. Maybe you do not know Him. Just like this man a few years back, He said, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come and follow me, and I have a completely different and better plan for you. You want to catch fish? You can't even catch frogs? I'm going to help you catch people. I'm going to make you heavenly farmers. Go out for a harvest that ends up in heaven. I pray that we all make that decision to run to Jesus Christ. I mean, Peter, a terrible failure. All of them. None of them excelled. None of us excels apart from the Lord Jesus. He told them earlier on in John 15, you can do not even one thing without me. You can do nothing without me. You cannot add 1 + 1 without my help. And He told them, I've chosen you to go and be fruitful. And I'm going to help you bear that fruit. I'm going to help you be effective in ministry. I'm going to guide you. I am going to lead you. The same call is being made today. Jesus says, I want to lead you. I want to guide you to fruitfulness. Just come to me. I want to satisfy you. I want to give you a better deal. I want to remove that stress. I want to renew your energy. I want to give you a new vision altogether. Just come to me. Who doesn't want that? We all desire that. We all yearn for that. And we should always go to Jesus Christ because he's always inviting us. Come. 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 Amen? Amen? Let's stand and pray. Lord, thank you so much for guiding us and leading us even when we don't ask. Thank you so much for all the help that you give. Lord, we often run away from you. We often forget about you. We often hide from you. We often are so confused that we don't even want to talk to you. We don't even want to hear your voice quite often. But we still need to hear your voice because it's your voice that answers all our questions. It's your voice that leads us. It's your voice that guides us. It's your voice that gives us hope. It's your voice that renews our energy. It's your voice that we need to hear, even when we don't feel like. Lord, it's your voice that finds us when we are lost. It's your voice that gives us wisdom when we do not know what to do. So Lord, we ask that you lead us, that you guide us, that you speak to us, even when we don't ask you earlier, even when we don't realize that we are lost, even when we are so far away in hiding, even when we are tired, Lord, we need your help. Even when we forget to ask you, Lord, please help us. Please help our unbelief. Please help find us. Please help fulfill our hunger and thirst, because we hunger and thirst for you the most. And sometimes we don't even know it. Lord, we want to pray that we always get up and run to you. Lord, you're always inviting us to yourself to just sit with you and enjoy a meal, to sit with you and talk, to sit with you and listen, to sit with you and receive hope and faith and strength and wisdom and everything we are longing for. Lord, draw us closer and closer and closer to yourself. And thank you so much that you're always pursuing us, Lord. We want to sit with you and be close to you and grow in our love, in our faith, in our wisdom, in our knowledge. So, Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to ask for your leading and to yield to your leading. We avail ourselves and hearts and feet and our minds to be close to you, Lord, to hunger and thirst for you more than anything else. And you are faithful to satisfy us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.